One of Bob Dylan's most famous songs includes the singer asking his recording engineer if the tape is on.
Is it rolling, Bob?
A few days ago, Bob Dylan began what is believed to be his first broadcast interview in 19 years.
To be alone with you.
The conversation started about the same way.
Is the tape on? Tape's on.
This most private of musicians spent much of the 1960s fleeing his rabid fans. Now, at the age of 63, he's written a memoir. It's called Chronicles, Volume 1. Dylan started by writing about his old recording sessions.
As you can see by the way it's written, you can just about say anything you want, or I can anyway, if I put it into context of what was happening when I was making these records.
Hey, Mr. Tambourine Man, play a song for me.
In the course of writing about recording sessions, Bob Dylan ended up telling a good chunk of his life story, flipping back and forth in time. On one page, it's the winter of 1961. He's a young man in New York City, making demo tapes and waiting for his shot at fame.
How many roads must a man walk down before you call him a man? The answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind. The answer is blowing in the wind.
He went on to become one of the most influential songwriters of the 1960s. On another page, Dylan is a burned-out rock star who can no longer feel the power of his own songs.
I'm going back to New York City. I do believe I've had enough.
That moment came in the mid-1980s.
I did some tours with the Tom Petty Band, and then I did a short tour with the Grateful Dead, and, you know, as you could probably expect, really didn't feel like my heart was in it much anymore.
You seem to suggest that even some of your own best songs were alien to you, hard to play.
That's true. If you talk to any of the people who were around me at that time, I couldn't quite reach the meaning in the whole, you know, pantheon of the songs that which I'd written. I thought maybe they didn't really hold up conceptually or something like that, or maybe the music scene had passed me by.
And so what happened when you had this session with members of the Grateful Dead and they were urging you to play songs that you hadn't played in a while?
They always seem to have known my stuff in a lot of ways deeper than me, that they found great meaning in those songs. They could play them pretty accurately, but I couldn't do that.
Bob Dylan says he fled the room rather than talk about playing songs that he couldn't relate to anymore. He might not have ever gone back, might even have ended his career, except he says that he walked into a bar and was inspired by a jazz group playing inside.
You know, a lot happened for me when I went in there and heard them, and I felt like I could do something again, or I had a fix on something that I hadn't had for many, many years.
You just heard this little combo playing, and
It was mostly the singer who got to me there. I mean, those things happen sometimes. Mostly, when they do happen, they happen to a person when they're much younger.
Bob Dylan was in his 40s. He returned to playing his old music, restored his confidence, and went on to record "Oh Mercy," an acclaimed album that was seen as a comeback.
Broken lines, broken strings. Broken threads, broken springs, broken idols, broken heads, people sleeping in broken beds.
Why have you continued for years now playing, well, probably more than 100 dates a year, right?
Uh-huh. Well, because, I don't really feel like anybody else is doing what I do. That's probably the long and short of it right there.
In his memoir, Bob Dylan adds another detail. He says he wanted to start touring constantly in hopes that he would be discovered by a new audience. Of the fans who'd followed him since the 60s, declaring that his every word was Shakespearean poetry, Bob Dylan writes, "In many ways, this audience was past its prime, and its reflexes were shot." Why does it bother you when people sometimes refer to you as a voice of your generation?
I think that was just a term that can create problems for somebody, especially if someone just wants to keep it simple and write songs and play them. having these colossal accolades and titles, they get in the way.
You're saying it made it harder for you to just do your job.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I guess it's your fault because you went and wrote all those lyrics that a lot of people think speak to them.
Yeah, but and that's okay. When it becomes a problem, it's like when we get known outside of our field, then we're known by people who don't really know, who've never had any experience with what we do, or we're just names. You know, sometimes a person's reputation can be far more colossal than the influence of the person. I don't pay any attention to it anymore, so I was trying to reconstruct the feeling of what it does feel like to have anything like that thrown at you, where you're expected to be something that you just flat out know you're not.
Maybe they'll get me, and maybe they won't, but not tonight, and it won't be here.
You've come to some places in your career where you've considered quitting. You've worked through them.
Every day.
Every day, really?
Yeah. Well, why not, you know? I don't know.
Well, you think you ever might just quit or take up painting? Joni Mitchell a couple years ago said, I'm going to take up painting and give up music.
I understand that, and I know why she would do that. I know why anybody would do it. If I could find something else that might interest me to do, I mean, I think I've pretty much done what I, you know.
Well, I mean, you know, people will be listening to this interview. You got any marketable skills you want to tell people about?
Well, I can sail a boat and fly a plane.
Bob Dylan is the author of Chronicles, Volume 1. It's been a lot of fun talking to you. Thanks very much.
Okay, thank you.
To be alone with you. Just you.
Excerpts from Chronicles, Volume 1, and explorations of some of Bob Dylan's signature songs are at NPR.org.
Ain't that the way it ought to be? To hold each other tight.